At this point, I'm going to ask Helen if she'd like to come and share the Word of God with us today. Let's give her a warm welcome and encourage her. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's good to see her. It's good to see the young people here today. We thank God for every young person here. Amen.
Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that your Word gives life. And we thank you that you are the Word that gives us that life. And as we come into your presence this afternoon to hear this Word, we just pray, Father, that you'll open it up to our hearts so that we'll understand more of your fullness, more of what you've got planned for us, more of the benefits that we have in you. And we ask that in the name of Jesus. It will not come as a surprise to most of you to know that I'm going to talk a little bit about grace. All right, we're going to look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 21. We're going to start with Galatians chapter 4, starting at verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labour, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. This passage in Galatians refers to Ishmael and to Isaac. If you remember, when Abraham and Sarah had been promised a son, they decided that God was taking a long time about it, and so they'd help him. And in their helping him, they created Ishmael. Now, Ishmael, his mother was Hagar. Isaac's mother was Sarah. Notice that they both had the same father. They had same fathers, but different mothers. Verse 22 and 24 tells us that Sinai was the law. Verse 24, there are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, which gives rise to bondage, and the other one is the one that gives birth to grace, because it wasn't done in human power. There was no way Sarah could have a child. She was well past it, but not when God's around. In verse 29, we look and we see that he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. Even so it is now. Have you noticed how the law and people subjected to the law persecute grace? Yeah. You don't hear it the other way around. You don't hear the sinners going around saying, the Christians are persecuting me because I'm a sinner. You always hear it the other way around. We are being persecuted because of our beliefs. Yeah. Well, bring it on. It means that I'm really born again. Amen. There came a point when Sarah got fed up of having Ishmael around. She'd got Isaac now, and she didn't want this other woman with Ishmael hanging around her. So she said to Abraham, cast this woman and her son out. Get rid of this woman and her son. And God said a surprising thing. God said to Abraham, listen to her, listen to what she says, do what she says. What a funny thing to happen. You would think that God would be wanting to keep the family together. But God will not mix law and grace. You can't live under law and under grace at the same time. They don't mix. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The world does not understand just how much God loves them. If they understood how much God loved them, they would do something about it. And by the world, we mean people that have not received the Lord as their Saviour. People that are outside fellowship with believers and church and things like that. And we know that sometimes, you know, we think, well, if they only knew how much God loved them. One question that occurred to me is, do you know how much God loves you? Do you really know how much God loves you? Do you really, really know? One of the things that the enemy will try and trick you with from time to time is trying to convince you that you're still a miserable sinner. You're no good. You've gone and failed again. I never get this right. Why do I bother? Why not just, oh, let's just quit. I've had enough. But no, that means that you're doing something right, because the devil's not going to annoy somebody that's not annoying him. You only want to annoy people that annoy you. Have you never felt the urge? I've never felt the urge to go and annoy somebody that's not bothering me. If you don't bother me, you'll be left alone. But if you start annoying me, I may just want to annoy you back. And that's how the world works, isn't it? I'm not saying that it's right, but that's how the thing works. One of the things that we have to remember is that we are living under grace. Our sins are forgiven. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. When God looks at you today, he doesn't see your sins. He doesn't see the things that you've done wrong. He sees the blood of Jesus. And he knows that you are covered. Do you want protection from problems and difficulties in this life? Do you want to be sure that you're going to heaven? Do you want to be sure that your name is going to be called out one day? Yes, come in and enter into your reward. Come into heaven. Hi, welcome to see you. One day Jesus is going to come up to Daniel and say, welcome home, Daniel. Well done, good and faithful servant. Do you want to hear that? Do you want Jesus one day to say to you, welcome home, you good and faithful servant? Or when you get up to heaven and they open the door, and they're looking in the book, and what's your name? How did you spell that? No. You're not written in here. Your name's not written in here. There's only one way to be sure that your name is written in this book.
Amen.
There's only one way to be sure that you're going to heaven.
Yeah.
There's only one way to be sure that your sins are forgiven. And that's by receiving Jesus into your life.
Amen.
And living according to what He's planned and purposed for you. We read in the Bible about Nicodemus. Excuse me. John chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. It's John chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. Talking to Nicodemus, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said, "We know." Nicodemus knew knowledge. And knowledge is based in the law. Nicodemus, a well-educated man, well-read, but Jesus had to challenge him.
Yeah.
You contrast that with the woman at the well. It was important when he spoke to her. This is the woman that had had five husbands and was living with a sixth chap that wasn't a husband. It was important that Jesus let her know that he knew about her sin.
Yeah.
So that she understood that his love, because if you don't deal with your sin, you conceal it.
Yeah.
And that woman will have been thinking, if he really knew me, he wouldn't have been so nice to me. But Jesus made it very, very clear before anything went too far that he knew. "I know all about you. I know about the five husbands you've had. I know that you're living with a bloke that you're not married to now. I know all about you, and I still love you." One of the dangers, and I know this is particularly true in school, because when I taught there, I saw a lot of it. If they really knew the real me, they wouldn't like me. And there's a temptation sometimes to try and be something that you're not. You see a performance or a behaviour pattern in somebody else, and instead of being yourself, you copy their behaviour. You try and copy what they're like. Sometimes if it's a good behaviour and you are a bad one, it's a good behaviour to copy. But underneath it all, be yourself. Be loved for who you are. Because if somebody likes you, and this is especially true when you start looking for husbands and wives, not that I am, let's make it clear. But when you start looking for a husband or a wife, don't put on airs and graces. Don't pretend that you are interested in one thing and you're interested in something different. If Grace had not liked motor racing, she would have been bored to tears on Sunday evenings when the TV goes on. Now, sometimes you get to like things that your partner likes. But if what your partner likes is something that you hate, you're not going to have a good future together. It's important that in our relationships with each other and with God, that we are exactly who we are. Don't try and cover things up. Don't pretend that you're something that you're not. Be yourself. If you're having a rubbish day and things are not going according to plan, it's okay to say, "I'm having a rubbish day." But the thing is, don't stay having a rubbish day. Do something about it. Get into your Bible. Speak to God.
Yeah.
Ring a friend up. You don't have to live under the circumstances.
No.
So it's important that we are ourselves and that we are honest and open in our relationships all the time. Because as I say, if the people only like the person that you're portraying, what about what happens when you are yourself? If you marry a partner that you've been leading up the garden path to pretend that you're one way, and then you get married and you find that you're totally opposite and you've both been pretending to be something that you're not, doesn't make for a good marriage and a happy future. That's one of the reasons, I think, why there's so much dysfunction in the world today. Because the TV tells us what we should be liking, what we should be enjoying. They put adverts on the TV, have a happy life, live like this. Do this and it'll be great. They put trailers on the TV. Oh, this program's going to be on. It's going to be really, really wonderful. And it's like, not at my house, it's not going on. I'd sooner stick a poker in my eye than watch that. But the truth of the matter is, what you're looking at sometimes, things going through the eye gate become what you are. Be careful what you're looking at. Be careful what you're watching. Be careful what you're reading. And be careful who you're listening to. Don't go for advice to somebody that's got nothing to offer you. And in school sometimes, there are certain teachers you don't go to for advice. God will reveal to you the ones that you can take advice from. Some of them have not got a Christian background. Some of them have got loose morals, a foul mouth. And although you don't hear necessarily what goes on, you should go in the staff room sometimes and you'd be shocked. Allow God to lead you to the right member of staff to open up to. You can't just talk to anybody. Don't open yourself up to people in the world. If you need some help, you're better off coming to somebody in church that you can see has a relationship with God. When we're looking at the woman at the well, which we were, it was about the sixth hour, and he asked this woman for a drink. Now the sixth hour was about noon. Why was this woman there at noon? Did she not know it was hot? The middle of the day, hot and sweaty and sticky. Most people are, you know, having a nice shade. Before air conditioners, no battery operated fans there. And she was at the well at noon. Well, we've already said that she'd had five husbands. She was living with somebody that wasn't her husband. What do you think the neighbours thought about her? Do you think the people that lived next door were thrilled that they'd got this loose woman living next door? She's had five husbands and she's not married to him, you know. Fancy living next door to a woman like that. Who are you to judge? Jesus didn't judge her. That lady was there at noon because she probably didn't want to meet anybody. She'd been despised by the people around her. Whenever she was around, people would be pointing the finger and, phew, look at her. Do you know she... You know her? She's had five husbands. And you know this bloke she's living with now? She's not even married. What a woman. And she lives in our street. I don't know how she dare lowering the tone of the neighbourhood. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus spoke to her. He didn't judge her. But he did point out that he knew. He didn't condemn her. He didn't tell her, you loose woman, you should be ashamed of yourself. He didn't have a problem. Because you see, Jesus doesn't have a problem with sinners. Jesus does not have a problem with sin. Jesus came and he died on that cross that we might all be set free from our sins. He's not got a problem with it. He's dealt with it. You don't have a problem with something that's dealt with. When I first became a Christian, I was in debt. Who cares? I'm not in debt anymore. Do I have a debt problem now? So who cares? When once your sin problem's been dealt with, it's been dealt with, and that's it. The thing is, do you want your sin problem dealing with? Now, when his disciples came back to him, he's like, how come you're so refreshed? When we left you, you could hardly stand up. You were worn out. And now we've been and we've bought some food and we've got some water. Look at you. Jesus was refreshed because he'd helped a sinner. Jesus was saying that I have food that you don't know of. And the food that you didn't know about was the food to do the Father's will. Do you want to enjoy your life? Do you want a purpose in your life? Do you want to lay down at night knowing that you've had a fulfilling day? Or do you want to lay down at night knowing that you've watched the TV all day? You might have been to the shops, you might have spoken to your neighbour a little bit about what was on the TV the day before. Maybe you've had no spiritual input. Which day are you going to go to bed and sleep the best? I'll tell you the day. The day that you've done something for God. Because you'll go to bed excited in God, refreshed in God. Excuse me. Knowing that you've done something from God. Because working for God energizes you. It makes you strong. On a Friday, when we arrive on a Friday night, we all sort of get to the door and it's dark and it's cold and we come in and we sit down and it's... And then we say, right then, let's get started. And within minutes, energy. It's right, isn't it, Alex? Within minutes, energy. Within 10 to 15 minutes, will you shut up? I can only hear one person at a time. And every now and then it's, shut up. Please be quiet. There are times when people can all talk. But not when you're in a situation where you want to hear what's being said by a certain individual. And there are times when we also have to learn to shut up when we're in God's presence to allow God to speak to us. Jesus was refreshed because the sinner came to him and was energized. Now, the essence of grace in your life is supply. Because grace in your life supplies that salvation, that forgiveness. It supplies the healing. It supplies all that you need. But the essence of law is demand. The law will place demands on you. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do that. Andrew started on Wednesday to start and talk along these lines, and I nearly had to tell him to stop pinching my sermon again. When we first became Christians, we were told that we couldn't go to certain places. We were told we couldn't do certain things. But to the truly born again Christian, you can go everywhere. And you can do anything. But listen carefully. If you are truly born again, where you go will not be an ungodly place with ungodly behaviours unless God has specifically told you to go in there and rescue somebody. There are places that by common sense you're not going to go in. Some places you can feel the oppression outside the door. Before you go in, you know that the place is the pits. Sometimes the smell's overpowering. But there are places that you do not go in. There are people that you have no business being with unless God has called you to draw that person to Him. When you come out of addiction, You have no business mixing with addicts. You need to become strong. You need to become firm in the faith and grounded, because while you still need help, you can't help everybody else. You need to be strong so that you stand up against that difficulty, so that in due time, then you can go and minister to those with that same problem. We read in the Bible that when Jesus met the lepers, he was unaffected by them. In Bible times, if you had a leper, who knows that you don't go near them? They were carrying this bell, unclean, unclean, don't come near me, otherwise you'll get leprosy. If you want to catch leprosy, you come near me, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. You hear the bell and you don't go running towards them, you go, hang on, leprosy, let me out of here. I don't want my bits and bobs falling off. I've got 2 ears for a purpose and I intend keeping them. But Jesus was not unaffected. Sorry, Jesus was unaffected. The leper said to him, if you will, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Under grace, the clean makes the unclean clean. Under the law, the sin is contagious. The law was designed to give us an awareness of sin, to show us what was wrong. But the law is Old Testament. Now the law is written in your hearts and it's written in your minds. And although it's written in the Bible, we do not have to strive to keep the law. Because we are living under grace and the law is written in our hearts and minds, we will keep the law, but it won't be a problem. It won't be a chore. It will come naturally through a relationship with Him. Under grace, holiness is contagious. Healing is contagious and forgiveness is contagious. Under grace, everything that you need is available to you. Under law, you've got to work at it and work at it and work at it. Just a thought. Under law, sheep die at the hand of the shepherd. Under grace, the shepherd dies for the sheep. Under law, sheep die at the hand of the shepherd, but under grace, the shepherd dies for the sheep. The children of Israel were given the law to teach them. But in the fullness of time, God sent His Son to redeem them that were under the law to sonship. But we are born again. We are righteous. The debt's been paid by the blood of Jesus. You are righteous. You're not a sinner. You are the righteousness of Christ. The blood of Jesus has set you free. You are free. You are righteous. Don't have to try to be righteous. Righteous is what you are. You are righteous because He says you're righteous. Because you've been born again. You've given your life to Him. And you've been set free. Don't let the devil trick you. Like he tricked Adam and Eve. What did he say to Adam and Eve? Who? Why don't you eat this? And you'll be like God. Duh. How thick can you get? Adam and Eve were already like God. They were created in His image. Be careful who you listen to. If somebody's trying to put you down, you know, let it just go over the top. Don't allow people to put you down for your beliefs. Amen. Do allow people, parents and certain authority figures, may correct you from time to time. They may correct you adults as well. It's not only for the youngsters this. Don't be too big to be corrected, but don't be put down. There's a difference between being challenged and being made fun of and being poked fun at. There is a difference. And the devil will try and trick you to try and get you to do things so that you can have a benefit from God that you don't necessarily need to do because you've already got everything that you need. Only thing that you need is Jesus. The minute Adam and Eve tried in their own strength to become like God, they fell from grace. That was the beginning of the problem. The message of the gospel is righteousness by faith. But what did Jesus say? At some point Jesus said to his disciples, "Oh, you have little faith." We need big faith. But we start with little faith. And the only way that your little faith's going to grow is by using it. Now, Daniel had been going to the gym. And he had little weedy muscles. But they're starting to grow a little bit. This hasn't gone very much yet, but... But the thing is, if you don't exercise faith, if you believe for nothing, guess what you'll get?
Nothing.
If you believe for healing, guess what you'll get? If you believe for forgiveness, guess what you'll get? If you believe for deliverance, what are you going to get? We need to walk in faith in the plans and purposes of God. Last week, Martin told us that God had given him two words. Follow me. Who are you following? Who orders your day? Does your partner do it? Do your children do it? Do your friends do it? Or when you get up in the morning, does the word of God order your day? Jesus is still saying, follow me. Nicodemus was told, you must be born again. How many times have we had Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not yours, and all these things will be added unto you. We need to stop trying to live the Christian life in our own strength. We need to be born again, we need healing, and we need to be set free. Sometimes we think, oh, I've been praying for this for ages. I've got two or three conditions that I've been totally healed from that I don't have today. I told you recently, a couple of weeks ago, I was at the hospital. They gave me an eye test. I've been having trouble, not serious trouble, but my eyesight was deteriorating. There was a problem in the background. They kept saying, we're not going to need to operate yet, but further down the line, there'll be an operation coming. That happened for 3 years on the trot. Last year, I got a letter back. Eyesight normal.
Amen.
I went again. This year, I have to go every year for the test because of another medical condition that I'm not naming because that's going as well. It's not quite got the message, but it's on its way. Amen. Went for the eye test again this year. Now, before I went, you know what the mind starts doing? Well, it was clear last year, but was that just an incompetent person? Was that just because it wasn't that bad? We went for the eye test again. Clear again. When God heals, he heals. Don't give up if you've not seen your healing yet. Keep on believing. 1 Corinthians 15, 56 and 57. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. By grace, you've been saved. As I said earlier on, under law, the sheep died at the hand of the shepherd. But under grace, the shepherd has died already for the sheep. The Bible clearly tells us in Romans, God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So you've all sinned. The wages of sin is death. So that's a terrible place to be in. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Do you want to live under the law and be dead? Or do you want eternal life by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ into your life? In every area of your life. The Bible also tells us in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's all of it. Not just some of it. God's not limited in what he can do for you. In Jesus Christ, God can do absolutely everything for you. Again in John chapter 1, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become sons of God. Are you this afternoon a son or a daughter of God? Are you born again? Are you living under grace? Or are you bound up and caught up in legalism and trying to obey the Ten Commandments and trying to impress everybody with certain behaviours and mannerisms? Or are you yourself? I just want us to close our eyes a minute because I want to ask one or two questions. The majority of this message has been about the blood of Jesus and the necessity to be born again. It is very, very important that we are sure that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is the heavenly archive, if you like. If during this meeting you have thought to yourself, I've never received Jesus as my Saviour. I've never accepted him into my life. If that's you, and you have thought during the service, I really need a new start in my life. I need some purpose. If you need to be born again, that's receiving Jesus into your heart, and you're serious about this, I'd just like you to raise your hand to indicate that for you, you're going to now follow Jesus and that you're not going to follow the ways of the world, that you're going to walk in his paths and find out what way God's got for you. Is there anybody here this afternoon that wants to go down that way? Thank you. You put your hand down, I've seen it, thank you. Thank you. We have two this afternoon. I'm going to extend this to believers. Are you living a grace life? Or are you caught up and bound by the things that you feel you should be doing? Is your life governed by what has to be done? I have to do this, I have to do that. No, you don't, because if you don't do it, God will find somebody else. And while ever some people are doing all the work, other people will sit back and they'll let you do it. If there's anybody here that thinks that they would like, well, not thinks, who knows that they're living under the law and want to step out in grace, can I ask you to raise your hand to indicate to God that you want to change, that you want to move forward freely, and that you're going to allow him to guide your paths in the future. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to invite Andrew to pray with the people that raise their hands. I'm going to encourage you to come to the front now. It's going to be a big step. And then we can pray for you. One of the things that it does tell us, that if we confess before man, and in here it's easy because we're all rooting for you. I'll tell you now that there's angels dancing around in heaven. There's angels dancing around in heaven because there's going to be a new life in the kingdom today. The new life's already in the kingdom. Alex has been coming to the youth for a few weeks. She is an absolute treasure. And God's been speaking to her on and off, I think, for a few weeks now. I'm really encouraged that you've seen the way that God's got planned for us all. And I've asked Andrew if he'll come and pray with you. Now, later on, I'll have a word with you. And I'll do the Roman road a bit later on with her. But if for now, Andrew the pastor will welcome you in and we'll have a short prayer. Okay? Be brave. This is the start of an exciting life.
Yes, this is just the beginning.
This is easy, this.
Amen. It's just the beginning, Mum.
It is. Something lots exciting. Of it's exciting.
Come on, just. Yeah. Part of the family of God now. Your name's been written in the book of life.
Yeah.
Your name, just as an angel, just been writing.
And it's been written in big.
Praise God. Thank you for that, Helen. Such a wonderful time of ministry. Well done, Alex. Do you know, me looking back, do you know, I've been Christian for about 4.5 years. And I can honestly stand here today and say that I've not regretted making that decision. It's just like, where I was about 4 years ago and how I used to be 4 years ago to where I am right now. It's just completely different, man. And the things that God's done in my life is just absolutely amazing. You can ask Dee and Nia more about me and they'll probably tell you how I used to be and all that. They probably already had. But yeah. And I just praise God for that. And yeah, it's good that you've given your life to God and just accept, like, expect more miracles and everything happening in your life because it'll happen. And yeah, that's great, isn't it? And I think it's a really good time for us to like come to the Lord's table. And as we take communion today, you know, let's just like take our time while we're taking communion before we share it with one another. Let's just like take a few moments where we take that bread, where we really, really remember what Jesus has done for each one of us. And let's just remember what he went through and let's just accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior within our lives and let's just remember his love. Amen. It says in the Word of God that Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And as we receive this bread, let's just take a few moments and let's just thank God for everything that he's done in our lives and everything that he's got in store for us.